Let's pray and let's ask God to be with us as we spend some time. Father, we thank you for your word, O God, that we have access to your word. Lord, we pray that we will not take your word lightly, but help us, O Lord, to dive into the scriptures, O God, that we will read, meditate, and also apply your word in our lives, Father. Help us, O Lord, to just focus our hearts, minds to your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if someone would ask you, what is the most important thing in your life, what would be your answer? Right? People definitely, you know, as you're growing up or in different stages of our life, people tend to ask us this question: what is the most important thing in your life? Right? If I come down and ask you the same question, you know, what is the most important thing? What is the thing that you're just going after? Right? You are heading and you want this to happen in your life. And I was trying to Google and trying to find some kind of answers, and I realized, you know, one of the top things that people are seeking or searching, right, is about health. Right? The most important thing to many people today is health. Right? And so what's happening? You know, I want to live a healthy life. So I want to go to the gym. I want to exercise the Lord because I want to live longer. I want to extend my lifespan in this world by extra 5 years or 10 years. Right? And so to some people, it's about health. To some people, it's about career. I want to climb the career ladder. I want to be on the top. Right? I want to work hard, which is good. I'm not saying wrong. Right? We need to be working hard. And I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. I want to manage an organization. I want to be a CEO kind of a thing. To some, it's about family. Right? We love our family. We care for them. And that becomes a priority. We want the family to be number one. We work hard. We toil. Right? We have savings because we want to bless our family because they are very special and important in our lives. And I think the list goes on and on. Right? And sometimes some people, you know, just are very ambitious in certain things. Right? They have some kind of goal. Like, I want to participate in the Olympics. Right? I want to be an NBA player, which is good, right? If we have NBA players in our church, that will be wonderful. Probably we might attract more crowd because there's an NBA player here, right? We want to be a pop star kind of thing. We are driven by our aims and goals in our life. I think what was happening in the scriptures that was just read to us in Mark, right? A man comes to Jesus, not only an ordinary man, right? The Bible says that he was a teacher. Let's turn to Mark. Like Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law. Can you imagine? This man comes to Jesus and he's asking Jesus an important question. Let me give you a background to what's happening here. Right? If you realize in Mark, just to give you a background so we will know where we are. Right? If you look at Mark chapter 11, people were coming, right, to question the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were asking him, on whose authority are you doing this? On whose authority are you teaching these things? They want to discredit Jesus Christ. Right? They don't want the world to see Jesus as the Messiah because Jesus was seen as a crowd puller. So what was happening? They wanted to question the authority of Jesus Christ and to say that he's a false teacher. Right? He doesn't have authority. He's a nobody kind of a thing. And then when you realize, when you jump into Mark chapter 12, if you look at Mark chapter 12, you realize, I think, what's happening. They are coming and asking him questions about taxes. Should we pay taxes? Right? Not in the intent of, you know, helping Jesus so that he will escape CRA. It's to catch him. Right? They wanted him to say something against the authorities, so they have every reason to arrest him and to put him in prison. I think that was the intent here. And the Sadducees, who don't believe on the resurrection, right? They don't believe in angels. And so they are asking him a question, if you read in Mark chapter 12, verse 18 onwards. The important questions. And Jesus, you know, in a very profound way, is answering each and every question. And the passage that we just read is almost the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And so people were just coming after him, just asking him questions to tempt him, right? To question his authority, so that people will come against him, that he can be put into prison or even be crucified. And so this was happening. And this teacher of the law, you know, when I was looking at this scholarship, says he's just not an ordinary man. A teacher of the law, in other words, he was one, in those days they were like a supreme court, they have 70 people. He was one of them. He was an expert of the law. He knew the law pretty well, my friend. I could boldly say he would have actually memorized the law by heart. He knows everything, fingertips. You can question him at every angle. He knows it all. Can you imagine? He comes to Jesus with a question that he knows the answer. He knows it well, because each and every day he reads the law, he interprets the law. Right, there were around 613, laws that they had. And what was happening, they have the good ones, and the heavy ones and the light ones. In other words, there are yes laws and the no laws, right? You do not do this, you do not do that, you don't harm, which is around 365, and the rest are positive. You need to do this, you need to do this. Can you imagine? He knows everything of the law. Everything. He knows the answer. But he comes to Jesus and he wants to know the answer. He says, one of the teachers of the law came and he heard them debating. So he wanted to ask Jesus. And what was his question? Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Lord, which is the most important? And not only he was not wanting to question the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he wanted to know whether Jesus knew. At the same time, right? This was a general concern of people in those days, because there were so many laws. What should I be doing? 630 laws. Just keeping one law is difficult. What can I do? There are do's laws and there are don'ts, kind of a thing. Don't do this, 365. Right? Don't do this, don't do that, kind of a thing. On a Sabbath day, you don't carry, you don't walk so many miles or so many meters away. People were just concerned, what should I be doing? There are so many things, right? When I go to the synagogue, the scribes are teaching all this, what I should be doing. You realize, why do I say this? Because a lot of people came to ask Jesus. The crowd came in John chapter 6, verse 28. The crowd came to Jesus and they asked him the same question, right, in a different way. What must we do to do the works God requires? What is that that God requires from us? Because we want to be God-pleasing people. What should we be doing, Jesus? Come and tell us. I think that was a pressing need in those days. People wanted to know, how I should be living. And then in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, if you realize, the rich man, he had all the things in life. He was blessed with all the wealth and riches. And he comes to Jesus. He has everything. Right, in the eyes of people, he has all the blessings that God can ever give. But he comes to Jesus and says, teacher, right, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? If you realize, if you look at the questions in those days, they were just concerned. What should I be doing? What is important in my life? Because we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to be in God's kingdom. And Jesus is answering the question. And we will look at the answers, and Jesus in verse 29, right, Mark chapter 12, that was read to us. It says, right, the most important one Jesus answered, he says, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and with all your strength. I think Jesus was saying this. For a moment, this man was trying to ask Jesus this question, because if Jesus would have said something else, right, or against Moses, then he would say, this man has said against Moses, and Moses is our prophet. So we need to, punish him, torture him, or persecute him. He got no authority, kind of a thing. And very interestingly, Jesus, you know, in a very powerful way, he's saying these words. And these words, if you trace these words, Jesus is not saying something new, my friend. Right? What is he saying? He's actually saying what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. If you realize, it says, right, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." I think that's what Jesus was trying to say. You know, the Jews, in the Jewish culture, what happens twice a day, they have to say this prayer or this word. They have to say it aloud twice a day, right, to say, you know, "I have to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, right, with all my strength. And, you know, all of me should be just loving God," kind of a thing. I think if you look at the question and the answer that Jesus gave, now, I think Jesus is not only answering the question of the man, but I believe, right, I think it's each and every one of us too, right? What is important in our Christian walk? What is important for us to inherit the eternal life? Right? What is important for us to be found in the kingdom of God? Right? Will God be able to say, "Well, good and faithful servants, enter into my joy"? I think all of us are here because we want to glorify God. We want to praise Him. And at the end of our journey, we want God to say, "Come in, right? Come into my kingdom. I want you to be, because you're worthy to be inside my kingdom." That's there. That's what we want. And so I think it's important for us to look at this particular word. When I look at the word, you know, let's look very carefully what Jesus is trying to say. You know, it says, in verse 30 in Mark chapter 12, it says, right, if you look at it, you know, Jesus is using the word "your God" with "your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength." Right? Love the Lord. You know, in other words, actually, he's saying, you know, God revealed in three persons, which I will not dwell on it. But he says, you need to love your God with all your heart. You know, the word here in the Greek text is not a plural word. It's singular. In other words, you need to love your God, each and every one of us, not NCAC, right? Not the Christian church, each and every one of us, not because my dad is a Christian, my mom is a Christian. But Jesus is using the word, and the word that is used here, it's God, your personal God. Is Jesus your personal God? Do you love Him with all your heart? Not because, no, my parents love God, and because of that, you know, I can enjoy the privileges. No, whether you love God with your heart, your strength, right, your mind, and your soul. I think we need to ask this. I think Jesus is teaching us an important question. Do we love God, my friend? I remember back in Singapore when I was pastoring some churches, sometimes I will ask some people, "You know, I don't see you in church." You know, mostly the husbands will say, you know, I will ask them the question, "I didn't see you in church." You know what the answer is? "Pastor, you would have seen my wife and kids coming to church." That was not my question, right? "I didn't see you in church." They will say, "My wife and kids have come." In other words, you're telling me that's enough, right? I will have the blessings of their prayers. If they pray, if they are good, you know, probably, you know, I will share in their blessings because I'm part of that family. No, my friend, it's whether, you know, Jesus is my God, whether I love Him with all my heart, right, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Can you imagine? And that's what Jesus is expecting. That's the one important thing that God expects in our life, is all heart, all our soul, and all. You know, when Jesus is saying, what does He mean, right? All our heart, right? If you look at the word very carefully, in other words, right, when you look at the word, the heart is the core of our being, right? The inside of us, right? The things that gives us life, my friend. You know, is my life all for Jesus Christ? And that's why Paul was able to say that, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Right? Does my heart, my being belongs to Jesus? Is it all out for Jesus Christ? And he says, you know, my soul, what does the soul reminds us? It's about my desire. Am I desiring about God? If my feelings about Jesus, is my goals, you know, driven by Jesus Christ? Is Christ driven goals? My ambition in my life is because of what God wants me to do. It's about me, even in my soul. You know, I want to glorify God. It's 100%. It's all. If you look at the word very carefully, it's not just part of it. All my goals, all my desires, even my mind, my learning, I'm thinking, how should I be growing? You know, I'm learning God's word. You know, I'm thinking, you know, how could I be a great testimony? It's all my mind, my friend. There's no place for another thing. That's the standard that God expects us in our Christian life. It's not just 10% of us or 5% of our life. It says all my heart, my inner being, all my soul, all my strength, all my talents, my strength, my ability, right, my energy. Am I giving all my energy to Jesus Christ? Right? Am I giving my talents to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, use me, Lord. Even in my workplace, in my campus, wherever I am, I want to be seen as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I want to be on fire for Jesus Christ. That's why Christianity grew, my friend. Because the early Christians had a radical commitment and change in their life, my. It was all. It was not just a part whenever I'm free, when I have the time. No, it was all their mind. It was all. And that is what God expects in our life. Can you imagine how the man would have felt, right? It's not only for the man, I think it's also for us. God expects all things in our life. You know, sometimes you might wonder, Pastor Vincent, how is it possible? How is it possible for us, right? We face challenges, we face struggles, right? We face temptations in the world. But I think God expects us in our life, right? Because in John 14:14, and then in Jeremiah also speaks about it, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Walk in obedience as I command you. So in other words, if you love Jesus Christ, you know, Christ is seen in my life, my friends. When I keep Jesus' word in my life, what's happening, you know? My life, my love for God is revealed the way that I'm living. Right? Sometimes, if you realize, sometimes people will say, I didn't know you are a Christian until you told me, you know, I know now, now I know you are a Christian because I never thought you were a Christian. Have you ever realized sometimes people tell you? Because you know why? They have not seen Christ in us. They have not seen, you know, God's love revealed in us. Oh, now I know you are a Christian because all the while I didn't know you are a Christian. Yeah. That's sad, my friend. Sometimes they will ask you, you know, which religion do you belong or which ism do you follow? Then you have to tell them. Then they'll say, oh, is it okay? You know why? Because they have not seen Christ. If all our heart is given to Jesus Christ, if all of my mind is given to Jesus Christ, my strength is given to Christ, my soul is given to Christ, I will be a radical Christian. And that's what the world needs today, my friend. And Jesus also expects us to live such a life, right? To live a radical life for Him. Let me just, you know, go on. And if you look at Deuteronomy again, because Jesus was using Deuteronomy, and I think that's the kind of people I think the Lord wants to bless, right? If you want to have blessings in your life, right, if you look at the word very carefully, it says, Hear, O Israel, be careful to hear so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing. You know, God wants to bless us and God wants to make us much more greater. You know when? When we start carefully obeying every word of God, my friend. And sometimes, you know, many a times when I look at scriptures, I believe God is always searching for people like that, right? If you realize, I think Chronicles says, the eyes of the Lord searcheth the whole world in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is searching, my friend. God is searching for people who can say, Lord, I love You with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul. God is searching for such people because God wants to empower such people, because God wants to strengthen them, and God wants to use them powerfully, my friend. And I believe God is searching for such people to make a radical difference in this world. Christianity have been in this part of the world for nearly more than 200 years. Can you imagine 200 years and we are not growing? Our Christian population is growing because of the large influx of immigrants that we are receiving. The immigrants actually, they bring up the percentage of our Christian population. What's happening? What's happening, my friend? I think the Lord is searching for people who are committed, right? Their life is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on. And Jesus said the second one. He says, the second is this. This man, asked Jesus, what is the one thing? But Jesus gave him two things, right? He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Very interesting word, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Do you love yourself? I know some of you are afraid to answer me because I might say wrong. Right? Don't be afraid, right? In Canada, you have all the right to say it, right? Do you love yourself? I think you love yourself, right? Look at yourself today. Right? You're well-groomed. You wear nice clothing, right? You do whatever you need to do on your face, right? You spray whatever spray you need, right? You do matching, right? Why? You love yourself, right? You want to care for yourself, right? Why do you go to the gym? Because you care for yourself, right? You want to cut down on certain meat. Why? Because you care for yourself. You want to walk, right? You buy Apple watch to keep track of your health, right? To keep track of how much steps you're making, how much hours you're sleeping, because you care for yourself. You go for holidays because you want to relax. You care for yourself. Summer is a good time for barbecue because you care for yourself, right? That's the way that we need to love our neighbor, my friend. If you love your neighbor as yourself, because the Bible says, right, if Scripture says like this, right, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it. No one hates. If you say, Pastor Vincent, I hate my body, I think that something is not right, right? We love ourselves, we love every part of our being, kind of a thing. But we need to love the way we love ourselves, right? To love others. At the same time, do we love people the way we love ourselves, my friend? We need to ask this. Sometimes, when people need help, we help provided. There's some time for us, some spare time. If I am available, right? If maybe because it's what's happening. We live in a culture, in a world, the pop culture is such, right? It's self-love. You love yourself. You're the boss of yourself, right? Yourself rules you. That's pop culture. But the Bible is very radical, right? God calls us, right, to live a life. The way I love myself, I need to love my neighbor. I need to care for them. I need to reach out for them. I need to help them. I need to empower them. I need to be there when they need. When you look at these two things, sometimes you might wonder, is it possible? Is it possible to love others as myself? I know it's difficult. Is it possible, right, to love God with all our heart, 24/7, 365 days, every day? It's about Jesus. In other words, and I know there's a new movie, Crazy Asian, right, movie that's going on. It's about Singapore. That's my country, right? I'm crazy for Jesus Christ. Can you say? We don't want to be crazy for Jesus Christ. I'd be crazy for Jesus Christ, my friend, that my heart is for Jesus, my mind is for Jesus, my strength is for Jesus, my soul is for Jesus. Everything of me is Jesus. My life is Jesus. Sometimes you might say, maybe something is wrong, got wrong to that particular person. We might say it's not possible. I think Jesus is not talking about perfection. He's talking about direction. Whether our thoughts are directed to Him, our likes are directed to Him, our goals are directed to Him, right? Our desires are directed to Him. Let me tell you, it's difficult. It's sometimes impossible. That's why we need Jesus Christ in our life, my friend. That's why we need Jesus in our life. With our own strength, we cannot love God. We need Jesus, right? Because we have fallen short of the glory of God. I think all of us know many verses like that, right? It says, right, none is righteous. Not one. None of us is righteous. All are sinners. We are struggling. Everyone has sinned. We have fallen short of God's standard glory. And that's why we need Jesus to redirect our life, to redirect our path, that we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, my friend. We can see others the way Christ sees. We can have the heart of compassion as the way Jesus had. It's only when we have Jesus and say, Lord, it's only You can transform my life. You can change my life. Lord, it's only possible because of You. Let me close, right, with this verse, because we have communion today. And after Jesus have said this, this man comes to Jesus. He agrees with Jesus. He said, well said, teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one, right? And there's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your strength, understanding, with all your heart. In other words, and He also says to love neighbor as yourself is more important than all these burnt sacrifices. Because what's happening? Jesus is teaching in the temple court and He's seeing all the sacrifices. And this man is finally convinced. He is convinced more than all these sacrifices. God expects a full heart, a full soul, a full mind. And you know Jesus, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said this word. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're a teacher of the law. You're one of the leaders of the Supreme Court in those days, right? But you're still far. You are there, but not there. Even though you are there, but not there, you are still out, my friend. Can you imagine if I'm still there? I'm in the airport, but I'm not in the plane. I'll miss my flight. You know, sometimes, you know, we think, you know, by doing this, by doing that, you know, I can enter into the kingdom of God. No, you know, the gospel, according to the word of God, God's standards are high, my friend. Today, we live in an age and time, it's cheap grace, right? It's cheap. Accept Jesus Christ and you're there. Yes, I believe that. I'm not saying no. At the same time, right, am I living a life for Jesus Christ? If I accept Jesus, do I accept Him fully? Do I say, Lord, I give myself totally to You with all my strength, my heart, my soul for You? Oh, today we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we in the kingdom of God or are we there but not there, near but not inside, almost there but not there? God expects such a life, my friend. It's only possible when we say, Lord, I'm not able, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need You. I need Jesus in my life. You know, Lord, I need You. I need Your help, God. I need You to help me redirect my path, my life. That with Your strength, with your spirit, with Your presence of God, I can live a life and enter into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Can you imagine Jesus told the teacher of the law, the man who knew the law by heart, he will be able to recite it even in his dreams. Each and every day he's reading the word. He knows the word cover to cover, word by word. Every letters are familiar to him. He knows the answer. He knows the scriptures. He knows how to pray to God. He knows in terms of sacrifices. But Jesus told him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, you are there, but not there. Today, my friend, it's not what we know, but who we know. It's not what we do, you know, but for who we are doing for, whether it's, is it out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I want to give all my strength to Jesus, because I love him with all my heart. We're going to come for a communion. I think it's a reminder for us. Jesus gave it all for us. When we come, I think it should be our prayer, Lord, I'm not worthy, Lord, to come to your table. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to say that I've given all my heart, all my mind, my soul to you. But I come with a repentant heart. I need you, God, to help me. I want Jesus in my life. Let it be our prayer like that when we come to the table. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.